scripture reading today is from Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God is for the Israelites that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness.
We're certainly grateful that you're here this morning, and it is good to be back. It's one of the few times in our work together that I have missed two Sunday mornings in a row. The reason for that was because of the homecoming at Clarksville, where I had an opportunity to go back, and I appreciate what all of you have done in continuing the work here, and it's always good to have you say we're glad to have you back. We have a lot of visitors in our audience this morning. We're having many visitors now. It may be that there are some of you who've moved into town or you've started attending here. You're not members of the congregation here. If you would like to talk with some of the elders or with me or some of the other preachers about the work here, indicate that on your card. Last week, I think we had three who indicated on the card there where it says comments, something along the line that they'd like to talk with one of the elders, and we're making contacts on those for the elders to see you. And if you are not a member of the congregation here, you're attending here, you'd like to know more about what we're doing, or if you'd like a bulletin or anything for that matter where we can assist you, just please put it on your card and we'll make contact with you. You may notice that our front seats are not as full as usual this morning. There are 15 of our number in Boonville, Missouri today, making preparations for vacation Bible school there through this week. Brother Womble and Brother Powell are both with, I think, 13 of our teenagers, and they are there and will be involved in that, and please keep that in mind throughout the week as you pray to God. As announced in the bulletin this week, our lesson this morning we've entitled A 35-Inch Yardstick. I made me one of these this week. If you look at this, it has the appearance of a yardstick. In fact, if you were to divide it into thirds, you would have a 12 here and a 24 here. It looks as if there are 3 feet in this yardstick. And it has 36 numbers on it. It's divided into 36 equal distances on this stick. It appears to be a 36-inch yardstick, but when I take one, and by the way, Jerry Lowe, this has Lowe's on it, and put it with this one that I made, it comes up 1 inch short. This one is just 35 inches long, although it really looks, when you're looking at it by itself, to be a yardstick and has 36 numbers on it. I even took one of these little measuring tapes, it's supposed to be a standard, and tried it, and it also says 35 inches, so I've got me a 35-inch yardstick. And that can create some problems. I made that as a result of a little story that I read the other day that caught my attention and caused me to begin to think about a lesson that I wanted to share with you. The story goes that back in the late 1800s, maybe 1880 something, there was a man who started a dry goods business in a small town. And he came up with a measuring stick that he used to measure off the cloth that he sold and other goods such as that that were measured in inches and feet and yards. He managed that store for about 25 years, and then his son took over from him and managed the store for about 25 years and used the same measuring stick that his father had used. After he had managed it for about 25 years, getting on up into maybe the 1930s, somewhere along there, the son or the grandson of the first one became the manager of the store, and he continued to use the same measuring stick that his father had used and his grandfather had used to measure off the cloth that was bought, especially by the yard. One day, a man from the government office of weights and measurements came by and said, "We are checking all of the scales and all of the measuring equipment that each store has, and we'd like to check yours. And this man proudly went and got his stick that his grandfather had used for 25 years and his father had used for 25 years and now he had used for a few years. And when the government official measured it, he said, "This stick is only 35 inches long." And the man said, "I don't understand. It has 36 marks on it. And my grandfather used it. And my father used it, and both of them were honest businessmen. I don't understand." And the fellow said, "Well, look at it here by the standard." And he laid it down by the standard. And he said, "Now you can see for yourself that it is 1 inch shorter than the standard that is used by the government for measurements. What are you going to do about it?" Now think about that man, that businessman at that particular time. He has just said, "My grandfather was an honest man, my father was an honest man," and the government official says, "That may be so, and I don't doubt that at all." And he says, "Well, my father used this stick, and my grandfather used this stick, and I've been using it," and the government official says, "That may very well be so, I don't doubt that at all, but the stick that you are using is a 35-inch stick. It is not 36 inches long. What are you going to do about it?" The answer in this story was the one that you would expect. The man said, "I'm sure that both my grandfather and my father would want me to do what is honest. They would want me to do what is right. And therefore, I'm going to change and I'm going to use a stick in my measurement that is 36 inches long that meets the standard that's just like the standard because I believe that's what they would want me to do." And I don't believe there is a person in this audience this morning who would have taken any other route than that man took. But think about what he might have said. He might have said, "You know, if I change now after having used this and after my grandfather used it and my father used it, if I change now, I am condemning them for being dishonest. Because my grandfather used this measurement for 25 years and my father used it for 25 years and I've been using it and now you tell me that it is not right and you want me to change and if I change at all, I'm going to be condemning them for being dishonest for 50 years. Is that what would happen? I don't think there's any of us here this morning who believe that that would be the approach that he should have taken or that that's the approach that we would have taken. This man knew that his grandfather was an honest man, and if he had used a stick that was an inch short, he had done it out of honesty and just simply not knowing the full facts. And he knew that his father was that type of man, and he knew that now if he changed and he used the right stick, that he was not condemning them because they had done the best that they could do and what they thought was right down through those 50 years, and what he did now would not change the fact of what they had done at all, for good or bad, and certainly would not condemn them. And so you would not expect that fellow to say, "I'm not going to change the measuring stick now because if I do, it will condemn my father and my grandfather." Another scenario that's possible is that the man could have looked at this official and said, "Now listen, I don't care what you say, and I don't care what you say the standard is. Whatever was good enough for my grandfather and my father is good enough for me. And I don't care how much you condemn this stick's been in the family for 50 years, and if it was good enough for my grandfather to use for 25 years and my father to use for 25 years, it's good enough for me." And again, I suggest to you that there's not a one of us here this morning who would take that approach, or we would expect that fellow in that case to take that approach. Especially realizing that his dad and his grandfather were honest businessmen. The approach that he took was the approach that we believe is right. He said, "I'll do what's right about it, and I believe my grandfather and my father would want me to do what's right." And I do too, don't you? Don't you believe in that case that if you could have gone back and at that particular time, as the story goes, the grandfather was already dead and the father was still living but retired. If there had been some way to have gone back and known what that grandfather would have said, and this grandson could have said, "Grandfather, if I find sometime that what we're using is not exactly up to the standard, and I know what the standard is, what should I do?" You know that grandfather would have told him, "Son, always go by the standard. Always do what is right." And I'm sure on that occasion that if he could have gone back and talked to his father, and probably did, the father that was retired and said, "Dad, we've just found out that the stick that we've been using to measure cloth is 1 inch short. What do you think I ought to do?" Without hesitation, that father would have said, "Son, do what's right. Do what's right. Go to the standard that is right. Because you know I didn't intend to short somebody an inch on every yard." And if that is the case, if it is proven that what we've been using is short of the standard, then go to the standard and do what is right. Folks, we understand that when we're talking about business. And we would all say that is exactly what the man should have done. He has been convinced now, he has seen the standard, he has it, he has been convinced that what he is using is short of the standard. What would he do in any area of life except religion? And every one of us would say he ought to immediately change to the standard. And his changing to the standard does not show any bad reflection upon his father and grandfather, because they were honest. They were wrong, but they were honest. And what he does not promote them nor condemn them. He ought to go to the standard if he is honest. Why can't we see that in religion? In the bulletin this last week, there was mention made that another person had been baptized in Ufah. I don't know the particulars of this specific case, but I would imagine that if one of us had been there talking to that specific person, as Brother Bale may have been, that person may very well could have at least gone back and said, "Well, you know, my father didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. And my grandfather never heard of this book that you call the Bible. And I'm convinced that in many instances, particularly in Russia, that's the case." Because I remember one of the first times that Brother Whittle made a trip to Russia and came back, he was telling us about an incident that happened in one of his classes where he said something about God, and immediately a young man stood up and said, "Would you tell us about this God that you mentioned?" Now, that's a little hard for you and me to understand. And it's especially difficult for me to understand because I grew up in a community where the only religion there was the church. And my father and mother and grandparents on both sides, and back even before that, have been members of the New Testament church. I grew up in a situation that's just about as far to the opposite of what we're talking about today. And I know it's difficult for me to put myself into the shoes of someone else and really understand how the thinking process is. But I think I can. I think at least I can try. And trying to put myself into the shoes of this person that was baptized, or at least some of those that are in Russia, would they not be faced with exactly the same situation that this man was facing when he realized that the stick that his father and grandfather had been using was 1 inch short? And might not some of those say, "Well, now listen, whatever was good enough for my father and my grandfather is good enough for me, and don't you come over here from America and start telling me about something else"? But you see, when they are convinced that there's a standard, when they are convinced that there is a standard, then you can begin to reason with them that it's not what your father and grandfather taught, it's what Jesus teaches that matters. And I would imagine that even in Russia, that most of the people would say, if asked, "Was your father an honest person? Was your grandfather an honest person?" I would imagine in almost any culture that parents, at least who care for their children, have taught them honesty. And so we would appeal with a person like that, "We realize your father and grandfather didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know about God. They may have been doing the best they could do to their ability, but now you have found out about Jesus. You have found that there is a standard, that there is a creator, that there is a savior. Now, what are you going to do about it? Why would not that person have the same attitude that the businessman had and said, well, I'll tell you, I'm going to do what the standard says. I'm going to do what the Bible says. And they would realize, and we would all realize, if we would look at the situation, that's not condemning the father and grandfather. That's really carrying out what the father and grandfather have taught about honesty. Last Saturday night, as a week ago, when I was preaching in a little congregation up in my home county, a man from India came, Brother B. Ratman. Brother Ratman and I don't look alike. He's about 4'6" and black and a little older, and they didn't have any trouble distinguishing between the two of us. But we were alike in being Christians. And yet probably about as opposite as could be in the backgrounds from whence we came. I described mine a few minutes ago, a Christian setting. I don't know all the details, but you think about Brother Ratman's father and grandfather back two or three generations in India, Hindu religion. Brother Ratman is a wonderful gospel preacher at this time, supported by churches in my home county. Now, when he first met the Bible over in India, and someone showed him that they had been using the wrong kind of standard, and showed him now that there is a right standard and that this is the standard, what attitude should he have had, and what attitude did he have? Did he take the attitude, if I become a Christian, I'm condemning all those who've lived before me who didn't know about Christ and who failed to come up to the standard? No. Did he say, well, now listen, you forget this because whatever was good enough for my ancestors is good enough for me? No, he didn't say that. He was convinced that there was a standard. And when he turned to that standard and did what it said, he became a New Testament Christian. Let's bring it a little closer home. On a given Sunday, probably in this audience here in Henderson, there are those who assemble who are not members of the New Testament church, who were brought up in religions that may have just been a little bit different from what's in the standard. It may have been like the 35-inch yardstick, almost in many ways like, appearance looks like. But you've come to understand by studying the Bible and turning to the Word of God that there are certain things that are required in this standard that your ancestors did not practice. What are we going to do about it? And when we're talking in religion, we usually get a little different answer. And the person either says or at least thinks, well, whatever was good enough for my dad and my mother and my grandfather and my grandmother is good enough for me. It wasn't with the 35-inch yardstick. Is it with the standard that determines the soul's salvation? There are those, for example, who were taught and whose parents believed that baptism was not necessary for the remission of sins. Honestly believed that. And now you come to learn that the Bible teaches that it is necessary. What are you going to do about it? I'll guarantee almost without exception that there's not a one of us in this audience this morning who had a dad or a granddad who failed to teach us honesty and who taught us you do what is right. You see, the problem there in that reading in Romans 10 that was read a few minutes ago is they went away from God's standard of righteousness and they began to set up their own standard. But you and I have been taught honesty. And when we find that our own standard doesn't measure up to God's standard, what are we going to do about it? When we find that the Bible teaches we're to observe the Lord's Supper upon each first day of the week, and that we are to sing and sing only as music in our worship, and you look back and you say, my dad and my granddad didn't understand it that way. They were honest, but they didn't understand that. They had not understood the Bible as I now understand it. What are you going to do about it? Well, let me tell you, folks, what's good enough for dad and mother is not always good enough for us. I've mentioned this before, but I want to mention it today because it illustrates the point. My great-grandfather, after whom I was named, Ben Bartlett Flat, caught his leg in a chain when he fell off a mule. The mule dragged him until it literally dragged the flesh off his back. And he died 3 days later because gangrene set in. They did not have the antibiotics. If the same thing were to happen to me today, there are antibiotics that would take care of the infection. And the doctors could probably take care of it, and I could be healed and maybe not even have to go to the hospital or be there but a short period of time. Now, if something like that were to happen to me, am I going to say, now, wait a minute. My great-grandfather died, and he didn't use these antibiotics, and I'm not going to use them today. If I did, I'd be condemning him to death. No, no. I never did know my great-grandfather. I knew my grandfather, know my dad. But I believe with all my heart my great-grandfather would have said, you do what is right. And if you find something that is better than I had, if you find something that will take care of the need, you use it. And I believe that our parents and our grandparents would say to us today, if you find anything in this standard that's different from what you've been taught, you go by the standard. You go by the standard because that's the honest thing to do. And when we go by that standard, we can be New Testament Christians. We can have the promise of salvation. We are not condemning anybody that's lived before us. In fact, we are showing appreciation for the honesty that was shown and taught to us. And we do the best that we can to be according to the standard and leave it all in the hands of God to make the final judgment according to His standard. Folks, whatever has been taught in your past and by your ancestors, what matters is what's taught in this standard. What's right today? What does Jesus teach? That's what matters. We would not want to continue doing anything that was less than right just because somebody else did it. And we need to apply that when it comes to the subject of religion. You need to look at your soul today in light of what the Bible has to say. If you've not been scripturally baptized into Jesus Christ, you need to do that. The standard still says, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And the standard still says, for one who's gone astray, repent, confess, and pray to God for forgiveness. We just need to have enough trust in God and enough appreciation for the honesty that has been displayed and taught to us by our ancestors to come to the standard. And be willing to do that because that's what is right. If you need to come to Jesus by the standard today, come as together we stand and sing.